not hide his convictions, Mascherina put in gloomily. It is not for us to sit in judgment upon him. Quite so. Only he might have had a little more consideration for others, who are likely to be compromised through him now. What makes you think so? Ostrodumov bawled out in his turn. Basinov has plenty of character. He will not betray anyone. Besides, not everyone can be cautious, you know, Mr. Paklin. Paklin was offended and was about to say something when Nezhdanov interrupted him. I vote we leave politics for a time, ladies and gentlemen, he exclaimed. A silence ensued. I ran across Skoropikin today. Paklin was the first to begin. Our great national critic, aesthetic, and enthusiast. What an insufferable creature. He is forever boiling and frothing over like a bottle of sauerkraut. A waiter runs with it, his fingers stuck in the bottle instead of a cork, a fat raisin in the neck, and when it has done frothing and foaming, there is nothing left at the bottom but a few drops of some nasty stuff, which far from quenching anyone's thirst is enough to make one ill. He's a most dangerous person for young people to come in contact with. Paklin's true and rather apt comparison raised no smile on his listeners' faces. Only Nezhdanov remarked that if young people were fools enough to interest themselves in aesthetics, they deserved no pity whatever, even if Skoropikin did lead them astray. Of course, Paklin exclaimed with some warmth, the less sympathy he met with, the more heated he became, I admit that the question is not a political one, but an important one, nevertheless. According to Skoropikin, every ancient work of art is valueless because it is old. If that were true, then art would be reduced to nothing more or less than mere fashion. A preposterous idea, not worth entertaining. If art has no firmer foundation than that, if it is not eternal, then it is utterly useless. Take science, for instance. In mathematics, do you look upon Euler, Laplace, or Gauss as fools? Of course not. You accept their authority. Then why question the authority of Raphael and Mozart? I must admit, however, that the laws of art are far more difficult to define than the laws of nature, but they exist just the same, and he who fails to see them is blind, whether he shuts his eyes to them purposely or not. Paklin ceased, but no one uttered a word. They all sat with tightly closed mouths, as if feeling unutterably sorry for him. All the same, Ostrodumov remarked, I am not in the least sorry for the young people who run after Skoropikin. You are hopeless, Paklin thought. I had better be going. He went up to Nezhdanov, intending to ask his opinion about smuggling in the magazine. The Polar Star, from abroad, the Bell had already ceased to exist, but the conversation took such a turn that it was impossible to raise the question. Paklin had already taken up his hat, when suddenly, without the slightest warning, a wonderfully pleasant, manly baritone was heard from the passage. The very sound of this voice suggested something gentle, fresh, and well-bred. Is Mr. Nezhdanov at home? They all looked at one another in amazement. Is Mr. Nezhdanov at home? The baritone repeated. Yes, he is, Nezhdanov replied at last. The door opened gently, and a man of about 40 entered the room and slowly removed his glossy hat from his handsome, closely cropped head. He was tall and well-made, and dressed in a beautiful cloth coat with a gorgeous beaver collar, although it was already the end of April. He impressed Nezhdanov and Paklin, and even Mascherina and Ostrodumov, with his elegant, easy carriage and courteous manner. They all rose instinctively on his entrance. Chapter 3. The elegantly dressed man went up to Nezhdanov with an amiable smile and began, I have already had the pleasure of meeting you and even speaking to you, Mr. Nezhdanov, the day before yesterday, if you remember, at the theater. The visitor paused, as though waiting for Nezhdanov to make some remark, but the latter merely bowed slightly and blushed. I have come to see you about your advertisement, which I noticed in the paper. I should like us to have a talk if your visitors would not mind. He bowed to Mascherina and waved a gray-gloved hand in the direction of Paklin and Ostrodumov. Not at all, Nezhdanov replied awkwardly. Won't you sit down? The visitor bowed from the waist, drew a chair to himself, but did not sit down, as everyone else was standing. He merely gazed around the room with his bright, though half-closed eyes. Goodbye, Alexei Dmitrich, Mascherina exclaimed suddenly. I will come again presently. And I too, Ostrodumov added. Mascherina did not take the slightest notice of the visitor as she passed him, but went straight